Welcome to the Wager Makers Podcast with Webb and Schmidt.
Brick by brick, baby. I'm freaking out, Webb.
I'm told there'd be no man.
Stupidity is going to be an asset.
What a bunch of crybabies.
Hello, my name is Steve Smith, and this is Rob Weber. Say hey, Webb.
Hello, hello. What's up, Smith?
What up, buddy? I'm Smith, that's Webb, and we are the Wager Makers, and this is the Wager Maker Podcast. Webb, this is Wager Maker Podcast number 29.
Number 29. It's got to be Eric Dickerson.
Eric Dickerson's good. I looked it up, and Eric Dickerson was like an also-ran to Satchel Paige, the old
Negro
League baseball
too,
player.
Great
baseball player. I was reading about him, too, a little bit. He didn't go into he actually made it into the like regular major leagues, but not until he was 40. And it still went on to win a World Series at 40 years old and stuff like that. So this is a little history for you here on the Wager Makers Podcast. But
there
certainly Eric
That's
Dickerson
right.
came to mind first when I thought about it.
Yep. I didn't even have to look that one up. So I did look it up. I did see Satchel Paige after, but I knew we're going to go with Dickerson. Pony Express, baby.
There you like the Craig James
I did.
Eric Dickerson combo, the old SMU, pay the players. Let's do it.
That's right.
Yep. Now, this many years later, we're back to paying players again.
That's right.
They should have just done that
back
then.
Everything old is new again.
Yep. The Pony Express would have kept rolling.
That's right. Keep it in big D. Keep it in big D.
All right. So I want to wish everybody a very Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, whatever it is you celebrate, Happy New Year, all that kind of stuff. We won't be back again until Thursday, January 2nd. So we got a lot of picks. College bowl season is here. Wedge, the college football playoffs
Let's
are here.
Bowling, baby. Let's go bowling.
Dig it. We got the playoffs this week. I think, I don't know if me and Weber earlier on, we talked some things out and we disagreed on one of the games. So we'll see how that plays out. Wheatley wrote in. He wants to know if we should. He's been winning. He's been winning on some of our picks and doing some stuff. He wanted to know if he should dump it all on LSU. I said bet the house. I said bet the house on LSU. But we'll be getting to that. But I think the LSU's running back's a little banged up.
Yeah, he is. He is. Yeah.
But I don't know if that'll matter. So we'll see what happens. Had some big NFL action last week, and the playoff matchups are starting to iron themselves out a little bit. We still have a few things up in the air going into last week. Obviously, Saturday evening, big game. Tom Brady and the Bills. I saw the stat. Tom Brady going into last week was 31-3 against the Bills. 31. So I guess now he's 32-3.
Yeah, that's good.
So that was crazy. The week started off with we took Houston Texans, and Jameis Winston just handed us play after play after play.
It.
He did what Jameis does. The funny thing, Webb, was like Friday evening, it came out that you know, Tampa was now starting to really consider keeping Jameis on board and was gonna, you know, actually going to franchise him if they didn't work out something otherwise and stuff like that. So Jameis comes out the next day and throws four picks.
Four interceptions, four. How hard? That's hard.
But the dude's crazy. He throws four interceptions, and it's still like a ball game late in the game. He still goes up and down the field and scores and shit. They couldn't stop him other than the interception.
He's going to be like a 30-for-30 guy. 30 interceptions and 30 touchdowns.
Right. Oh, man. Hard
to be worth something. It's got to be worth something. It's a carnival trick.
So, big game. Dude, your boys in a huge game last week. All the marbles. How do you feel about that?
Just another gut punch for this team. It's always, you know, and I'm sick of hearing how fucking talented they are. Who's good? Maybe one player on that team that's any good. One. I give you Elliott, I guess, but at any time a running back holds out, the season sucks. And they don't give him the fucking ball anyway, so how good can he be? The secondary blows. They give the DeMarcus Lawrence $90 million guaranteed or whatever it was. He's got, I think, 5.5 sacks. Doesn't even lead the team. He's another one. Smith, the linebacker, nothing, no good. The offensive line is probably the most overrated group in the history of flat. They're sicking me. They sicken me, Smith.
It's tough. I mean, when you're playing for all the marbles, I mean, the Eagles, I mean, this NFC East, man, god damn.
And not only that, the player personnel, like you don't have, like Amari Cooper, he wants $19 million. He wasn't on that sideline. He was on the sideline for the play, right? So. Right. They're like, oh, it's his personality. That's how he's not a diva, and it was part of the rotation. Well, first, would Michael Irvin sit on that sideline in the season on the line? Would he take him? Are you fucking kidding me?
Right.
You want to see a fucking explosion, a guy head blow up? Try to pull Michael Irvin out of the game with the season on the line in Philadelphia. You know, with how much time was left. I couldn't even. It's sickening. It really is. I fucking hate him. And yes, you know what it's done, Smith? It's even worse. This is the worst part of the whole fucking Cowboys situation. Now I agree with Stephen A. Smith. Now he's worse than Duke. He's worse than Duke basketball to me. And now I can only agree with what the man says. That's what they've done to me. That's what this team has done to me.
What's Stephen A. got to say about these Cowboys? Is this the same old, same old?
He just saying, well, he's walking around, he always puts the hat on and smokes a cigar like like a dick. And then but he's saying Garrett's now throwing people under the bus, which he's doing, and he's kind of, you know, passing the buck type thing, not taking any responsibility for not having Cooper in the game, for the play calls that suck down late in the game, not giving it to the rookie instead of giving it to Zeke Elliott. So just, you know, how anything that can go wrong will go wrong. It's just a shit show, substance over style over substance. Just the circus goes on.
Yeah. This is the never ending with the Cowboys, man. It's weird, too. Well, number one, it's taken 29 episodes, just so you know, to come full circle to where Webb is on the same page as Stephen A. Smith.
Yes, right.
I think that's right. A relatively short time. One full season of podcasting is all it takes for Webb to realize that the Cowboys suck, which we all knew early on. We all knew this a long time ago, even though I took them to the Super Bowl. It's almost as bad as the Falcons. In fact, right now, I think the Falcons might be able to beat the Cowboys.
I bet you they would. That's absolutely.
Yeah. Also, I think your pick is playing better football right now than mine for the Super Bowl.
Absolutely. And the Cowboys, don't forget, they were 3-0. So that just shows you how bad they were these last, 13 games, 12 games. It's been horrible.
Unbelievable. And then the funny thing, so they had some kind of issues with their plane flying back. So great. I don't know how long it took the Cowboys to actually get out of Philly after that game, but I'm sure it was a miserable, miserable existence at the airport and everything else.
I was happy so when you sent me that. Good. They should have fucking walked home.
Oh, shoot. So we got then it set up some of the other games for the weekend. That Saturday night was the big game with the Saints kind of needed real bad. The Rams, they needed the Rams to beat the 49ers. The Rams got all over them early, but 49ers ended up holding on and winning that one. So then we, in turn, needed Minnesota to beat Green Bay on Monday night. And Kirk Cousins finally – man, I've been talking shit. I've been on your side, Cousins. I've been on your side all year long, and this is how you do me. This is how you do my people.
If it was daylight, he might have would have played better. As soon as they put the lights on, he apples up. And I told you that shit wasn't going to happen. That was easy.
And I knew it because I didn't really watch the game that much, but I kind of saw the score early on. And they, you know, the Minnesota was up, but they were up just less than a score and stuff. And somebody asked me, I was like, dude, I don't have to watch this game. I know exactly what's going on. Cousins is not really doing anything. And eventually Rodgers is going to. If he's within a score, if he's within a score with 30 seconds left, Green Bay's going to win this game. If the Vikings were going to win this game at home, it was going to be like a beatdown. You know, where the home field's game.
Yeah.
Right. Cousins wasn't going to win a close game against Rodgers. He might win a game where his team was just overmatching on the other team, but he wasn't going to win a game that was close. And it was close the whole way. It was close. You know, the score anyway was close, at least when I'm watching on a phone. And I just knew. I was like, Rodgers is going to win this game. And then he ended up – then I finally started watching the second half. Cousins couldn't do anything on offense. I think they ended up with the 10 points they had from the first quarter.
10 points. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, 3 quarters without scoring.
Right. Thanks for nothing, Cousins. You are who we thought we were. How you like that? How you like that?
Yeah, that was great. You see the guys come in? Za'Darius Smith or whatever his name. That was great.
You like that? You like that? You sorry bastard. Saints needed you to win last week. So now the Saints need all kinds of help this week to get to a bye week.
The NFC is crazy.
So it looks like the big game of the week for the NFC as far as if you want to go into playoff scenarios and that. The big game, obviously, the Niners and Seattle. If Niners win, they'll be the number one seed. If Seattle wins, and most likely we're just going to assume the Packers beat the Lions, then all of a sudden the Packers would move to the number one seed and the Saints would move to number two and Seattle would go down to number three. It's so important to get that bye week, especially right now in this NFC, man. It's wide open. All these teams can win. But, man, if you can get a bye week and get some guys healthy, get a home game, that's
huge.
Well,
I think in particular it's probably for the Saints, the Packers, and then I guess Seattle. I mean, those are probably off the top of my mind the three to – not that it's easy to play in San Francisco, but – or even Minnesota.
Right.
But those two is huge. They're huge home field for sure. No one wants to go up to fucking Green Bay. It'll be fucking minus 10 degrees or whatever
right.
it is.
Right. So we'll see how that plays out. Pretty wide open. Looks like Minnesota's locked into the last spot, if we're looking looking correctly. Dallas gets the number four spot because they won a division. Or the Dallas Eagles. The Dallas Eagles.
Eagles. Cowboys ain't making the playoffs. Right. No way. I don't want.
I meant to say Eagles. That was my bad. Yeah, I don't know. Eagles. I still can't believe that they suck so bad. The Cowboys.
Yeah, I can. Yeah.
So, let's see what else in the AFC. There's a whole bunch of stuff that can go on. It looks like Baltimore has wrapped up.
So it could be actually. There's a scenario where it could be. Wow. So it could be again. It could be a rematch. It could be Minnesota in Green Bay, right? If Green Bay ends up with the number one spot,
that would be. Oh well, no, because the first week is going to be that 3-4 versus 5-6. Yeah, yeah. So it's going to depend. But it could be if the Saints. What could happen is if the Saints don't get that number one. If the Saints end up being number three, Minnesota will come to the dome. Is what's going to happen.
All right. Yeah, that's good for you.
You know what I mean? And then I guess the Eagles / Cowboys will play at home against either the Niners or the Seahawks, depending on who wins that game.
Yeah, wow.
Move over to AFC, the Titans. So, like I said, the Baltimore, they've wrapped up number one, and they're going to be sitting people this week. They already said Lamar Jackson's not going to play. Just things to keep an eye out this week when you're betting. Looks like New England and Kansas City are kind of fighting out for that number two spot, but most likely New England will get that since they play the Dolphins this week. That would most likely put KC at number three and Houston at number four. And then the Bills are locked in pretty much at number five. And then it's a toss-up at this point for number six. You got the Steelers who couldn't control their own destiny against the sorry-ass Jets last week. Kudos to the Jets for coming to play and hanging in there.
That was rotating quarterbacks. That was crazy.
Yeah. Now I think Mason Rudolph is out on IR.
He's out,
too.
So now it's it's Devlin. It's all. And then I don't know what happened with Connor. The running back got hurt, too, I think. I don't know if he's playing.
Right. I think he's on IR as well. Tennessee, who jumped out to a 14-0 lead against the Saints last week but couldn't hold on. Saints came roaring back against them. Titans are still in a chance to get that sixth spot. And also, believe it or not, the Oakland Raiders are still not mathematically eliminated. They would need to win. And really, if you look at some of the things that they need, they're not out of the question. So they obviously would need to win to the Broncos.
Right.
And they need the Steelers to lose to the Ravens, which even with their backups, the Ravens might be able to win. The thing that the NFL nowadays, they say, oh, you can sit all your players and shit like that, but there's only a 53-man roster.
Yeah.
You
how many players?
You can sit a couple dudes, but you can't sit everybody. Right. Everybody's not going to not play. So they also would need the Steelers. Like I say, Steelers lose to the Ravens. They would need the Titans to lose to the Texans. Possible.
Sure.
Colts to beat the Jaguars. That's possible. And they need one of these things to happen. Chicago, Detroit, Chargers, or New England to win. Yeah. So we'll see what happens. Good luck to the Keith Woods, I guess, and Eric Campbell Raiders. We'll see what happens.
Keith Woods, he's fair weather. He don't fucking.
If all these things happen, Keith Woods will be a Raiders fan. Is that what you're talking about?
Right. No, yeah, I guess. He's always talking about the Giants now, so I guess somehow he became a Giant fan.
Oh, the Giants. All right. You got to make up his mind.
Yeah. I tell him all the time. He don't listen.
He just likes being grumpy, I think. I haven't talked to him in a long time, but it sounds like he just likes to be drunk grumpy.
He just likes bitching about the Cowboys to me. That's the whole thing.
All right. So Michael Thomas, the Saints won another big record this week. He broke the record for most catches in an NFL season. He beat Marvin Harrison.
Oh yeah.
For the most catches in an NFL season. So I thought that was pretty good. Oh, bad news to report, Webb.
Bad news. Uh oh.
The Jersey Devils.
Oh, no.
We didn't pull it out. We couldn't pull it out this week.
Who won?
My buddy Al Hebert, the Rougarous. Rougarous, if you don't know, that's like a Louisiana version of a Jersey Devil. There's this old legend of this Rougarous that lives in a swamp, and he looks kind of like, you know, I don't know, he's hairy and Bigfoot looking, kind of like a Jersey like Devil equivalent to Louisiana. It's called a Rougarous.
He looks like Chad Arnold, probably.
Probably looks like Chad Arnold with his Mexican wrestler mask on.
Yeah.
Chad sent a pretty good meme the other day to Webb with Santa pissing on the Cowboys, saying he wants the internship real bad. So Nick, if you're out there listening, you and Chad, we're gonna have to figure out a competition for you guys to get this thing. We also got a lot of feedback from Scott Wheatley. He's been winning his ass off. want to thank everybody this year, Marty Johnson, Brad Bohan, and all everybody who's been chiming in on our stuff, and we really appreciate it. Scott,
yeah,
Stephen Doe, Chad Arnold, obviously, and Nick Perrone. You guys have been great this year. Very thankful for you guys helping us out with all this
absolutely.
Stuff.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right, so Christmas Day, Webb.
Yes.
Christmas
how about
Day.
Let's talk Christmas Eve. How long did it take to kick the fucking Hawaii game off? 17 hours?
I mean, you got all day Christmas Eve. Most people are getting home. Like, I had a couple odds and ends to wrap up, you know, Christmas Eve afternoon and stuff like that. Yeah. But by the evening, I'm home or I'm
everybody
at my mother-in-law's.
Care, right. Everyone takes care of their stuff. Maybe you wear half a day a little bit. You go to whatever you do. Right. You hit your place of work. You kind of just tie some shit. You won't be there for a couple of days, most likely. And then you, you know, like I said, you stop, you hit the grocery store, maybe you pick up something. You run a little errand here and there, and then you kind of get home. So you're just kind of sitting around, you know, a bunch of stuff going on. And what's the perfect thing to do? Then throw on the TV and right. with a little action.
With a little action.
But no.
I mean, you had to wait till whatever 9 o'clock something for one game. They got this holiday bowl season. They got 40. Like 50 college football games. You can't throw on an afternoon jam on Christmas Eve.
Yeah, right. And not only that, then like at that, like 8 o'clock, that's your kind of doing stuff. There's people around. You're gonna go somewhere. You got shit going on. Now you're kind of a little not distracted, but you can't sit there. You can't really be sitting there watching the game. You have. Could watch the whole game 3 hours ago.
Right. While you're getting ready, you could be watching the early game. The late game, at least, maybe you'll get it on in the background if somebody's not trying to watch Christmas Story on you.
Exactly,
you know?
Right. Yeah, I had it on with the mute.
It's understood it's mute Christmas. Because my mother-in-law goes, don't you want to hear this? And I'm like, well, I'm fine with it like this. Just as long as it can stay on, I'm cool. Because all it does otherwise is, if the game's on, just people talk louder. I can't hear it anyway.
Yeah, right. Don't matter, right? And then you're a nuisance. Then you're
and I can, you know, we know what's going on without hearing the douchebags, without without hearing Booger McFarland telling me what's happening on the play. I got it. I get it, Booger.
Not only that, with these 40 games and whatever they're played in, you know, they're being played in East Bumblefuck. It's who knows? You know.
Yeah, they're pulling analysts out of the woodwork.
Yeah, right. This is not the A team that's working the 8 o'clock Christmas Eve game, and you know, even it was in Honolulu, wherever it was. That's
right.
You know,
somebody probably did volunteer for that one, but the other some of these other games. Right. If you got the game in Shreveport, you're screwed.
You know, the Louisiana Bowl is not that popular.
Right. You know. Oh boy. So we did pull out a win.
That was a game show.
What's up?
That was a game show. Hawaii, the dude threw for 300 yards, I think, in the first 12 minutes.
Yep.
And then they were talking about benching him.
And then they didn't score at all the second half until, like, the last drive. They got the touchdown in the last drive. But we did have Hawaii. We've been going kind of back and forth in these pre-early college football games. We're kind of up, kind of back and forth, 50-50.
Smith, I was patting us on the back. I'm not sure which one it was. But it was all the stuff we talked about. There was within the first 17 minutes, there was 12 minutes left in the second quarter. So what's that, 18 minutes of football? There was two backup quarterbacks in the game, kind of get ready for next year. There were four turnovers, and there was a hook and ladder, all in the first 18 minutes. Right. I was like, oh, man, we just talked about this on the podcast. We're going to get fucked in this game. And I think we ended up losing. Was that
the UCF and Marshall? I know you texted me at one point. We were at our Christmas party at the bowling alley. You're like, Marshall has like five turnovers already or something.
Yeah, there's four turnovers, a hook and ladder, and everyone was rehearsing for next season, both quarterbacks.
Right. Yeah, getting some run for next season. Meanwhile, I'm losing $200.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Meanwhile, there's $1,000.
Right. So at least we got the Hawaii. We got that last night. But then Christmas Day. Nothing makes you feel more like a degenerate than going a whole bunch of money on four or five NBA games. On Christmas Day. Everybody else is watching. You're watching out of the corner of your eye, and on my phone, I'm looking at the phone, the scores. I didn't even watch hardly the games and stuff. We jump on the Celtics early. That was good. So I'm like, oh man, we're golden today. This is gonna be our day.
Yeah.
Christmas Day. I don't know how many holidays, how many Christmases and Thanksgivings have I been sitting there like turmoil in my belly, wondering about these games while everybody else is going about their business on the
Everyone's eating, laughing.
Right. I'm going, man. I need somebody to miss an extra point real fast.
That's right. I need a fucking pick six. Come on, Santa.
Right. All I want for Christmas. The blocked field goal.
Right, that's right. A shank. Wide right.
So we go with NBA. There's a bunch of games yesterday. We jump on the Celtics, man. They win the first one. I'm like, oh, man, this is going to be a great day. I feel it coming. Great day.
Not only that, Smith, I had the first early college game, too. So I'm 2-0. I had three college games, too, on top of it. 2-0. Like, oh, dude, it's just going to be a Christmas. This is a Christmas miracle right here. This is, forget the credit card bills. It's Christmas paid for today.
2-0. And then I personally stayed away from the Bucks Sixers, but we put it in the Sports Watch Monitor. We took the Bucks. Why didn't we take the Six? We should have taken a home dog in that.
That was a tough one.
That was probably a bad play. We probably should have taken the home dog on that one. But all right, so then we lost the Sixers game. Probably should have taken the home dog in that one. Sixers,
yeah. Good,
but the Bucks, the Greek Freak is just phenomenal. So we go with the Bucks. And then
they
we
were
take
playing,
the Rockets.
No, but they were playing. They're due to lose one. I think that was their fourth loss, maybe, in all season, something like that. They were due. They've been on the road for a while, too. So
right. So then we go with the Rockets. You know, Harden, Westbrook against the Warriors. Man, we can screw any team.
This is embarrassing, though, for this team. They got smoked, too. I mean, come on.
Because this is supposed to be, for the NBA, this is supposed to be like a coming out. You know, the holiday games are supposed to be like a showcase for the big talents, you know?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
That's why we had the Clippers, Lakers later, the Pelicans. They were on strictly because everybody thought Zion would be playing.
Yeah,
so the Rockets Warriors was going to be a big matchup. Obviously, with the injuries for the Warriors, it wasn't that big a deal. But that means the Rockets should just come and roll.
It shouldn't even be a game. They had 7 wins coming. They were 7-24 coming into this game, the Golden State Warriors. Right. Worst team in the league.
I guess they must have some good strip clubs. Maybe they have some good strip clubs. And what's Golden State like? San Francisco,
yeah.
San Francisco, Oakland, like the Bay Area. So
yeah.
I remember we saw a stat a while back that the places with the best strip clubs are the ones that Harden has a hard time at.
First, yeah. So maybe it must be some good skin bars up there.
The Oakland / San Francisco area.
Yeah. Yeah.
So. All right. So then we move on. I go to the Lakers. The fucking LeBron. Anybody who says that LeBron is better than Jordan is either like millennial, like just has not seen NBA basketball.
Young. Right, you don't know.
I mean, you just don't know. You can't explain it to him.
No, nope. I mean, that just shows you how good but Kawhi is. I mean, it's a two-man team, basically, though, with the Lakers. Like, and they said that all year. Where are they going to get the other scoring from or anything from? I mean, Rajon Rondo ain't going to score. I mean, Kuzma can score, but I don't even know what his story is, so.
I mean, usually in the NBA, sometimes in the NBA, two man teams. When you're two man, it's supposed to be AD, Mr. Something, LeBron,
right.
LB. When you got LB and LeBron's bitch, and then LeBron himself, that's supposed to be like all you need.
Yeah, absolutely. And you handpick the coach, disgraceful,
ridiculous,
disgraceful.
So I mean, and then like that Lakers that play at the end by
Patrick Beverley,
Beverley on LeBron.
Yeah. Yeah,
man,
yeah,
good D, man. Hits the ball. LeBron's basically going for that last shot, and then Beverly knocks the ball out of bounds off of LeBron, basically.
That just shows you how important that shit is, man. Right. I mean, the defense, you know, always a room for you. If you can play D, man, you can play.
Yep. So great play. I mean, just LeBron's does not have the half the heart that Jordan had. And AD, I've already talked about the heart on him. I mean, look, they're good. They're really good. Obviously, great players. But I love to see them lose. Even though, but of course, I'm on them yesterday. I'm like, man, they lost that opening night game against the Clippers. They're gonna come back. They're gonna make sure they win this one.
Right, 0-2 versus the Clippers in the old Seattle Bill. That's crazy.
Right,
that is crazy.
So then I turn on. We get when it gets the Pelicans for the second day this week. How many wins the Pelicans got? Like 7 again? Also, something ridiculous.
Yeah, 8.
They might have 8 now.
It's 9 now. Maybe it's 9.
Yeah, they're at 9-23. Well, guess what?
Nine.
We were against them twice this week. Not only did they cover, they won outright. They beat the Nuggets by 12.
We are single-handedly handing them wins.
Right.
Betting against them.
You're welcome.
It was a Christmas Day massacre.
You're welcome, Gentry. I'm saving your job, Gentry. Saving your job.
Yeah, exactly. Single-handedly.
Our Christmas massacre went on and on all the way till mid. I think the game got over like midnight or something.
Yeah, it went all day. Right. From noon to 12 hours.
Right. I was listening, so you know how they do the little interview with the coach in between like the third and fourth quarter or something like that. You know, they got the sideline guy. The guy said, "Well, we've had the Nuggets coach." You know, goes, "We've had no life." I wrote it down. No life, no energy all night long. I'm just looking for 5 guys that look like they want to play. That was his comment.
It's like
they heard we were on the Nuggets, so they just didn't show. They're like they were still eating Christmas dinner. Some of them.
Yeah, they took the night off. Yeah, sounds like a Dallas Cowboy football team.
Right. So the Pels scrapped their way to another victory. Ridiculous. If I was on the Pelicans, they'd lose every time.
They lose by 11.
They have 9 wins. I think I've taken the other team in 6 of them.
I bet. I was gonna say 5. Yeah.
No doubt. So it's a shitty Christmas day. But as far as I had a great Christmas. But I'm saying as far as this goes, didn't work out.
Especially after winning the Celtics, plenty of games.
Yeah, it's scary too. Because now you're starting to get down, you start to press a little bit. This could be. I've been in this situation before around Christmas time. It could get ugly.
Yeah, we got to stay disciplined. Stay in it.
All right, stay disciplined.
Get us back. There's a bunch of NBA. Not a bunch. Just a couple NBA games today too.
All right. Well, we'll start out. We got a couple college football games today. Yeah. But we took those last week. I think we took Louisiana Tech over Miami.
Yep.
And we took Pitt over Eastern Michigan.
Pitt over Eastern Michigan.
So do you want to go to the NFL first this week, or just go right out
doing
what?
Bowls.
What's up?
What are we, Smith? 1 in bowls so far?
We're about 50%, I think.
Yeah, maybe 2-2, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's jump right in. You want to just do the bowls? Let's do it.
All right. Let's go right down. We'll start off. So today we have La Tech and Pitt.
Yeah. I'm thinking about. I don't know. As I look at it here, I may jump on the over in that early game, 49. Miami and Louisiana Tech just to scratch the itch kind of thing. So think about that as well.
All right.
I do like Pitt, though. That's a good one.
Cool. Move on to finally things get rolling for real on Friday. We got 11 a.m. Central Time kickoff starts. And then we just got all day. And then it'll be all day through the weekend. We'll get into the two big games on Saturday. But we'll just start Friday. What do you see on Friday? You like anything?
Friday, it's funny. We got the Yankee Stadium, the Pinstripe Bowl. We got our Wake Forest, which has been pretty good to us against Michigan State. Michigan State's a favorite there. I don't know that they could score at Wake Forest. I like Wake Forest plus the 3.5. I'll buy it to 4 in that game. The noon game, let's just start there. North Carolina and Temple in Maryland. Carolina minus 6. This is a tough one here. It's 6-53. My affinity to Carolina, I think I'll take Temple plus the 6 in that one.
All right, good. If you're going against NC, I think we gotta like that.
Yeah,
especially getting points.
They had a good year. I mean, better enough than they thought. They could still win this game and not cover. So I like Temple there. And then Wake Forest, I do like. That just tells you how shitty Michigan State's offense is. The total on that game is only 50. So Wake Forest, that's 3:30 on Friday, and then San Diego, the next bowl, Oklahoma State and A&M. This is interesting. A&M minus 6.5 and 54. What are you thinking there, Smith?
Well, I kind of like. Oklahoma State, to be honest. A&M has not impressed me too much. I know they had a killer schedule.
Ridiculously. But,
I think they played at Clemson. They played at LSU. A couple of, obviously the SEC gauntlet. Yeah. But I don't, if you can get Oklahoma State with a touchdown, I'm almost like taking points in this.
Yeah, that's good.
The way they played in LSU towards the end of the season made me think maybe A&M is kind of giving up on his ship this year or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, they really disappointed. Like you said, not impressive at all. I'm not sure what the record is, but
they're 7-5.
That was a real tough schedule. But I don't mind taking Oklahoma State to buy that to 7. I like that one. These totals seem to be low. Not that I'm interested in this game, but I would just thinking about it, just a little comment. That's all.
Yeah, that looks like someone may go over. So. Then we move on. We got a pretty interesting matchup from the Big Ten against the Pac-12 is USC and Iowa.
Yep, out there in San Diego. Iowa minus 2.5 and 52. I do like the over in this one, and I think I like Iowa minus the 2. I could buy that to 2. USC's kind of been up and down. I do like that quarterback, Slovis, but I don't know. I just don't trust him, and I do like Iowa.
Right. I feel like you at least know what you're going to get with Iowa.
Yep.
They're going to come out. They're going to try and play some D. They're going to run the ball. They're probably not going to make many mistakes. Obviously, that's the kind of team, if they get down, you don't want to take Iowa and be down by 14. That ain't going to happen. But
right.
But USC is just up and down. They probably have some athletes on the outside that could make some plays against the Iowa team. But I think Iowa's a better team this year.
Yep.
Than I'll USC. I'm cool with that. And then we got you always like the. The service teams.
Service academies. Yeah, this is a crazy game. This is what the triple option against whatever that
watch. Yeah,
that,
Leach, the Mike Leach.
That Mike crazy Leach, shit. With his air and the fucking ball out here. 68.5 is the total. I actually do probably like that. I think Washington State is going to score against Air Force. This game is 2.5. Air Force is favored, which is interesting. This one is kind of wacky. I'm just going to stick with the over, I think, just by it's over 68.
Okay, fair enough. We have five picks that day anyway. We'll just go with the over late.
Right.
Okay, move into the big day. Saturday, if we got four games, two of them are the big daddies. We'll start with the crappier ones. Memphis against Penn State in the Cotton Bowl.
Yeah, 7-60. This is interesting. That Memphis coach, is he leaving? Did he take the Florida State job? Is that the guy? I don't know if he's staying there or not staying there.
This is when we need the intern.
Yeah, exactly. Actually, it doesn't matter. I think I'm going to take Penn State. Not that they're. I just think they're probably a better team.
Yeah. I don't think seven is too much to ask. I think they're probably
right. Well, it's a touchdown.
Memphis can come up with some plays offensively, but I don't know how they're gonna match up all day long with Penn State.
Right, exactly. With a Big Ten, yeah, a good Big Ten Penn State team. Yeah.
Although this is one of those ones that we talk about, you know, which team's gonna show up and play. Obviously, Penn State at certain times this season thought they were in the middle of the national championship race, even though they really weren't that type of class. Are they gonna get up to play against Memphis? You know, obviously Memphis is gonna come up and play with a big name team again, like Penn State, but Penn State might be a little bit of a letdown, but I think seven's not too much to ask.
Yeah, and I think Penn State still, like you said, they thought they did have a little, you know, they kind of flirted with the playoff four. That they can kind of point to that as even using this game as a springboard for next year as well. Just come out and play hard. So seven's not too much of a stretch. Take Penn State in this one.
All right, then we got your Notre Dame Fighting Irish against Iowa State.
This one's another one. 3.5 Penn Notre Dame minus. This is down in Orlando. Notre Dame minus 3.5 and 54.5. I there's no reason for me to bet on Notre Dame again. It's a team I don't trust at all. I'd think maybe over 54.5 here if I had to, and I'd take the points. That would be my two plays here. This one is not too, doesn't look too exciting. I think Iowa State thought they were going to be a little bit better than they were as well. Notre Dame, fuck them. So I'm not taking them. We'll take Iowa State and any over here.
Yep, I'm cool with that. Iowa State, this is a game where maybe they can prove that they were better than what their record end up saying they were. Like you said, early in the season, they were a team that was really mentioned to challenge in the Big 12. So maybe they can come up and play big this week. This will be a big big name team for them to knock off at the end of the season.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
That moves us right into the playoff game early afternoon Saturday, Oklahoma and LSU in the Peach Bowl.
Well, this is great. Let me just say that the start in this game at 4:00 is awesome. And then 8:00 is kudos to whoever, ABC or NCAA, whoever did that. Just a little aside. We don't have to wait. Get this going right early at 4:00. So LSU 13.5 and 76. I don't know. I don't see that game going over. Not that I'm going to bet the under.
The total is so high, man. It's crazy.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, you're talking a couple of stops, especially in a game of this magnitude. You know, we're on LSU. I got no problem taking LSU minus the 13. I think Oklahoma's defense is better than it's perceived. A couple past years, it was ridiculously bad. I think it's better than it's been. I do have a lean towards the under, and then LSU. Got to buy that half, though, for sure. Down the
right. I think I kind of like the under, too, just because to get to that many points, man, so everything's got to go right.
You're talking a drop, you know, a penalty, right. Anything. Right. Two drives stall, and you're almost there.
You know, a turnover in the red zone, stuff like, you know, going
exactly.
in,
anything.
Stuff
anything.
Like that.
Right. Yeah, field goal versus a touchdown.
There's going to be a couple. There's going to be a couple stops here.
Right.
76 is means you're just scoring on every possession.
And it's funny. I listened to one of those gambling shows on Sirius, and it's like it's always under until it's over, Schmidt. It's under until it's over. So
that's famous last words.
Yeah.
Very inside, in-depth information.
Right. It's under till it's over. So.
All right, so we like LSU. I kind of tried to get on them early a few weeks ago. I think they were 14 when I got on them because I wanted it to stay there. I didn't want it to get any higher, but it looks like it came down a little bit below that 14.
Yeah, it's right there, the number. I'd have to check. I'm not sure. I think we got it. I think we beat 14, but I'll check on that.
Oh yeah, we'll have to double check what I got because that was that was as soon as the game came out. I was like trying to get on that.
Yeah, looks like I probably pulled up now. But it's going to be a closer game, I think, from the beginning. I don't think you're going to see, an LSU waxing Oklahoma here early on. I do think it'll be very close to covering. I think they do probably pull it out. It'll be that 10-7 game late going into the fourth and kind of see what happens from there. I'm hoping for a good game, to be honest with you. I don't know as much skin in the game as you do, but, I do think, you know, gun to my head, I pick LSU to cover.
Yeah, I think they cover. I think that I think Oklahoma, while their defense might be a little better, LSU's proven over and over again that it's very difficult to stop this offense now, even with really good defense. You know, they put up 30 and change against Georgia. They were known to be one of the best defenses in the league. They put up all kinds of points against Alabama as well. Yep. So nobody can really stop them. Although LSU's defense is not very good, and relatively speaking, not as good as you would think. And Oklahoma has certainly a high-powered offense too. So I think both teams will score some, but I think there will be some stops here and there.
I think LSU
can cover two touchdowns on this game.
By the way, we got 13 on this game, so it did go up.
Oh, that's good. Right there. So we got 13.
Yeah,
that's what I got. Okay, good. All right, so moving on. This is the game I think we might have differing opinions. Clemson's favored by about 2.
Yeah, 2 and 63
over Ohio State.
Yeah, this is an interesting game. It really is. I sent you that thing yesterday. It said that Justin Fields said he's going to be 80% to 85%. I found that surprising. I don't know if I necessarily believe it.
Right, that could be one of those gamemanship things. You know, the guy, he certainly looked banged up in the last game against Wisconsin. But he's had a couple weeks, and maybe they put that out that, you know, I think if he was 80% to 85%, why would they even put that out there?
Right, yeah.
He's either 50% or he's 100%.
Right.
And they're
difference, and what does that mean? It's funny. It seems like Clemson kind of flew under the radar for me maybe a little bit this year just based off of that close game in Carolina. You know, this one, 63, man, I don't know. This is a tough game all around. I guess what are you thinking? How about that? Let me hear.
Well, I just say, look, I know Ohio State's been great to us this year, and we've been talking a lot about Ohio State all year long, and they've come out, they've covered a whole bunch of times for us, other than like this Wisconsin game, they didn't end up finishing the job, but I feel like Clemson's just been there before. I feel like this is like the quarterback is seasoned, their running back is seasoned, their defense may not be as strong as it's been in the past with some of those defensive linemen that they've had, but I feel like Clemson has just flown under the radar. And if you look at their, I know they don't play super great schedule, but if you look at their last five games, 62-17, 38-3, 52-3, 55-10, and 59-14 is their last five games. I think they started out struggling. Obviously, that game against North Carolina put them kind of behind the eight ball a little bit.
Yeah.
Because they struggled, they still pulled out the win. Maybe they should have lost that game, but man, if you look past some of those early games. I mean, I know they don't play the schedule that Ohio State does, but I don't feel like the Big Ten schedule is like some gauntlet that you have to run through either. I mean,
if you look at the team that they played, I don't think Clemson would have lost to any. You know, they would have beat those teams. Well, it's not like an SEC schedule,
right?
I agree with what you're saying there, and it's tough, man. I don't know, it's tough. I mean, obviously you can't go wrong. Clemson minus 2, I don't think is obviously clearly a bad bet. I don't like the total one way or the other. I could see it easily going over, and I could see it probably staying under if it had. I mean, 63 right, is kind of.
It's going to be over until it's over.
Right. You know, I could see something. Both teams kind of in the 30s. You know, 38-25 type thing, and I could also see a 31-17 or something like that. 31-24, and you're still under. I mean, I got no problem taking Clemson. They have enough offensive. I Chase Young is great on defense. Obviously, I like the kid Dobbins too. Ohio State's. I could easily be talked in. You want to go with Clemson? Is what you're thinking?
I think I want to go with Clemson. I just feel like until somebody knocks them off. I mean, they've been there. They're tested in this situation. I don't think they get up as much for regular season as some of these other teams do because they know they can kind of roll. I think Sweeney, Dabo, and the guys, they just build for this at this point. You know what I mean? The whole regular season is just to get to this point.
World type thing. Yeah. Right. All right. Let's go with Clemson. That's fine. I got no problem with that.
And look, that's no diss on Ohio State. We've talked a lot about how much we like Ohio State this year. And certainly it can go that way. I think it's a toss up. But I'm in a toss up situation. I'm gonna go with the team that's been there before, the team with the healthy quarterback. And we're gonna go with that.
Got to pick somebody.
Yeah, exactly. All right, that moves us to Monday. They got a handful of games. Anything stand out for you there?
Let me just take a quick look here. I don't know why Cal is favored. I think Illinois sucks too. I'm going to go with the Hilltoppers minus the 3.5 on that first game at 12:30 versus Western Michigan. We could buy it to 3. I kind of like that. Cal and Illinois, we're going to go over to 43.5. And then it slides us down to Virginia and Florida. That's in the Orange Bowl, right?
Yes, sir.
Is there two games there? What is that? It seems like Mississippi State and Louisville. It seems like it's the same spot. Virginia,
Mississippi
Florida.
State, Louisville is the Music City. So what's that? What's that? Memphis?
No, that's got to be Memphis. Yeah. We're gonna go Memphis, Mississippi
or
State
Nashville.
Minus the four.
That's Nashville.
And then we're gonna take. Well, we're gonna take. We're gonna take Virginia plus the 14.5.
Did you make a play on Cal, Illinois?
Over 43.5. Oh. And we're buying these halves. We're gonna buy all these halves.
All right. So Western Kentucky, Mississippi State over Cal and Virginia.
Yep.
I like it.
Virginia plus 15, Mississippi State minus 4, over 43, and West Kentucky minus 3.
Sounds good. Moves us on to Tuesday, New Year's Eve.
This is disgraceful. How is Florida State in a – that's fucking ridiculous. We're taking Arizona State just on principle in this game minus the 4.5.
Sounds good.
Buy that to 4. I don't understand that. Next one. Oh, let's go. We got to take my Navy, guys. Navy minus the 3 over Kansas State. Especially after that, they put that whooping on Army.
Yeah, we got the big one on against Army.
Yep. Wyoming over Georgia State. I like Wyoming actually minus 7. They did some good things there at the end of the season. And then moving right along, Texas and Utah. What do you think about that one? Minus 7. Utah.
We usually like the Utes. We usually down with the Utes.
All right. Fair enough. They are better for sure, certainly on defense.
Right, just a matter of if Texas is getting healthy or not, but that's a lot of guys. I think they had a lot of guys banged up. There was one earlier game, too, Virginia Tech and Kentucky. I think Kentucky had all times of quarterback injuries this year.
Yeah, they did. They were actually playing just their best athlete. I read about that. Like, both quarterbacks got hurt, so he was a wide receiver, this kid. I think the time is running. Virginia Tech has always been solid. Let's take the Hokies minus the 2.
Yeah, basically the last game Kentucky played this year, I watched it. I mean, the dude was just a runner. That was it.
Yeah,
whatever. But he was pretty dynamic player, man, when he got back there. But just I think Virginia Tech should be able to stop him enough,
right,
to do some stuff. But also, like this is where these extra 2 or 3 weeks of practice comes into play too, because who knows what kind of stuff they put in for this kid, this athlete kid, that you can't really put in on a weekly basis during the regular season when he's thrown in there. But all of a sudden, you got 3 weeks to build around him.
Yep.
All right. New Year's Day.
We're starting at 1 o'clock with Michigan and Alabama. It looks like Alabama. Yeah. For me, it's got to be Bama minus the 7 here. Fuck Michigan. I'm not a Michigan fan. They got to start winning some big games for me to believe in that. Oh man, we got my Minnesota Gophers here plus 7 against Auburn. This is an interesting game. Wow. 7 and 53.5. Auburn and out and down in Tampa. What do you think on this one, Smith?
Well, you know, I always lean when in doubt, I lean on the SEC. I think Minnesota had a nice season. We were on them a lot this year. They're kind of overachievers, but I think with Bo Nix and that defensive line, especially for Auburn, that Minnesota might have a hard time. Minnesota let me down in that game. I thought they'd play much better against Wisconsin towards the end of the year. That would have put them in the Big Ten championship, and we took Minnesota at home, and Wisconsin really came in there and out-physicaled Minnesota, I thought, and I feel like if that's going to happen, I think Auburn will do the same.
Yeah, agreed. All right, take that minus a 7. Fair enough.
All right, moving on. I thought Oregon looked a lot better in their last game against Utah than they've looked all year. They played Wisconsin.
Yeah, let's take the points. Let's take the plus 3 with Oregon. I think they finally let Herbert play. I think they may do the same thing here, just kind of let him showcase.
Yeah, he even ran the ball, did a few things like that.
Yeah, he looked good, and it was funny. It was kind of what I was looking for all year. So he was going to be the top 5 quarterback, you know, the year prior. Around here, everyone's talking about the Giants taking him the year they took Daniel Jones. Obviously, Herbert stayed in school, but I was wondering what was going on with him, and I think they just kind of had him lassoed a little bit, maybe the coaching staff. So hopefully they'll just let this kid play. If that happens, I think you'll see similar results to what we saw that last game. So I like Oregon plus the 3.
All right, that gets us right into the Louisiana Superdome, Georgia versus Baylor.
This just comes down to how motivated Georgia is. I'm going to stay with Georgia here, minus the 6. In my mind, they are the top, top 5-6 team, something like that. I think it's right. They lost the games. They just weren't as good as those top 4. You want to compare them to Oklahoma. I think you do have an argument there, but that's just not how it plays out. I think they have a good coach. I think Fromm is going to play well. He's got to showcase a little bit for the NFL as well. They got a couple of guys, too, that are probably the running back wants to kind of play himself, that dude Swift, into the first round. So let's just go with Georgia minus the 6. I think they're, the eye test, they're 7 points better than Baylor.
All right. Yeah, I agree. I mean, the only question, like you say, is whether or not Georgia shows up to play.
How motivated
game.
They are.
And they can probably play an 80% game and still beat Baylor by a touchdown, yeah. I feel like. But
you know what? I'm looking at this over here, 41. Let's jump on the over a little bit as a just an entertainment-only type play, kind of cover ourselves. I think that could – one way or the other, I think they can get there no matter what happens.
Playing in a dome, all that's good stuff.
Yeah.
Perfect weather conditions and all that.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. That moves us on to the last day we're going to pick is going to be for January 2nd, the Thursday. And then because we're going to be on again Thursday, January 2nd, it's going to be our next podcast, and we'll get all into the rest of – and then by then we'll know who will be in the national championship too.
Right, we can talk all about that stuff, and the NFL playoff picture will be done too. So
So Thursday, January 2nd, we got Boston College and Cincinnati.
This is an easy one. This is we're all over Cincinnati. And this one
yeah, I love that. I love that. Cincy minus 7. BC, we were on them a lot early, but they're 6-6.
They don't have the horses.
Against a 10-3 team.
Cincinnati's a pretty good team.
Yep. And then Indiana and Tennessee.
This one, 1.5. Tennessee minus 1.5, 52. I like the over in this game, over 52. I think Indiana can at least score with Tennessee. I don't know, who's going to win. It's obviously a coin flip at 1.5. Tennessee started off bad. They did help us. Excuse me. They did help us out a little bit later, late in the season. I think they are kind of playing trending up, I would think, for next year. So, I mean, if I had to pick a team, I'd probably take Tennessee, but I'd like the over. I think it's just a pretty easy pick, too.
Okay, we can go with the over, but I like Tennessee in this one, too. They've done this right this last. They've won 5 in a row, and when you go back and look at their they got upset early in the season versus Georgia State, and then they lost their second game of the year, which was a double overtime game to BYU. So they started out, everybody's bad, bad, bad on them. And then if you look for the rest of the season, they lost to Florida, Georgia, and Alabama. And the rest of it, they won. They won the last 5 games in a row. I think this is a team that's kind of maybe they're getting their feet under them a little bit. Maybe this coaching staff and stuff is fighting for their job and stuff like that. Which certainly after the first 2 games, they were on the hot seat. So
We'll go enough.
Cincinnati, Tennessee, and the over on that January 2nd day.
Perfect. Perfect.
All right, dig it. We got a lot of games. We got Virginia Tech, Pitt. Louisiana Tech, Pitt, Temple, Wake Forest, Oklahoma State, Iowa, over in Air Force Washington. We got Penn State, Iowa State, over in Iowa. LSU, under LSU, Clemson, Western Kentucky, Mississippi State, over Cal, Virginia, Arizona State, Navy, Wyoming, Utah, Virginia Tech, Bama, Auburn, Oregon, Georgia, and the over. Cincinnati, Tennessee, and the over.
Yep.
Oh, winners. Bowl season winners. Is rolling. Yeah, and bowl right. season is rolling. Rolling, baby. That's some plays right bowling. There. All right, let's just get on into the NFL real quick, see if there's any games worthy playing. This is a tough week. Not everybody's playing for anything. So we'll see how it pans out. Anything stick out for you in this NFL so far this week?
I don't know. It's always weird. This is a weird week. It seems they're in teams. Who's playing? Who's not playing? How does that reflect? Like Tennessee at Houston is the first game I have on the list here. -3.5 in Houston. So Houston's in. We buy this 1-3. I take the Titans. I do like them. I think they'll come out and play better. So let's go with that. The Browns and the Bengals. Who knows, man? The Bengals. The Browns. Fuck the Browns. This game, I don't know, over 43.5. I think we'll pass on this one. Thoughts?
Pass. Browns, Bengals. Yeah. The Browns and Bengals. They should pass. They should just give up. They should just not play.
Right. What's going on? It's got to be something else going on in Ohio that day. They're all about Ohio State anyway. No one's even going to be at that fucking game.
Right.
Go ahead.
I don't know. The Packers have to win that game against the Lions. I think the Lions will probably show up and try and knock them out. But I don't think 2 touchdowns is too much to ask from the Packers. But I'm not. I don't know, man. Some of these games are weird.
Again, that kid Blount is still playing. Yeah, I think the Packers kind of get a little bit loose here. They're looking at a couple weeks off probably, or a week off, whatever it is. I do like the Packers in that game. That's one that strikes me. Honestly, that line's probably a little bit low, I think.
Yeah, as long as you can get it under 2 touchdowns, you should be in
decent shape. Right. Yep.
Because I think if the Packers win, they get a bye week. Period.
That's what I'm saying. So they want to play, they want to get there, and then they'll have, a couple that week off, so Bears and Vikings. I don't know what Minnesota's thinking. I'd take the Vikings here in this game. They need to play well, especially what's going on.
But I think the Vikings are locked into that 6th spot. That's the only problem, I think.
Yeah, I get it. I understand that. But they're still. You don't want to go into that playoff game off 2 losses. Either way, so it's only a 1-point spread. I don't know if Cousins is playing or not, but yeah, I guess we could probably pass on this game. But the Vikings need to win that game.
All right. The Patriots need to win to stay at that number two spot. Need to win over the Dolphins, but I'm not laying two touchdowns plus on this, at this half, point in the silly. Season.
Yeah, that's not good, right?
We got the Falcons have been playing much better going to Tampa Bay. That's kind of a you know, an interdivision game. Both teams really aren't playing for anything. But I don't know. I'm just talking out loud.
Yeah, I don't know what's. I mean, I'd say probably the over 47.5 there. Jameis is going to throw a bunch, one both ways, and I think you know the Falcons will score a little bit. I wouldn't mind the over that too. That'll be just kind of like a, I don't know, like an ad, you know, an arena football
league something.
Game. Here. A bunch of touchdowns. Yeah, I'd like the over in that game.
Over Atlanta.
What's next?
Well, the Saints and Panthers. I'm not taking this one because, to be honest with you. If it was me, I would rest Saints players this week.
Well, they came out and said they're not, right? Because they're looking.
They
for
came
the
out and said they're not. I don't know if that means that, you know, that's Sean Payton is kind of like Belichick when it comes to shit like that. Because basically their situation is their whole thing is going to ride on Seattle. Whether the Saints win or lose, if Seattle wins, they're in the they're in the number two spot.
Yeah, gotcha.
Because if Seattle wins and the Saints lose, they end up tied with Seattle, but Saints win the head-to-head. So the Saints would still be the number two. So there's really them winning this week, other than if the Packers were to lose, it doesn't do them any good. And the Packers aren't losing to the Lions.
Well, I mean, my looking at it from a distance here, if they're playing, if they are legitimately playing everybody, and it's gonna they're gonna go against Will Greer, the quarterback for the Panthers. The Saints are going to win and cover this game. So that's just, we don't need to take it. But if the Saints play their team and play to win the game, they will beat the Carolina Panthers by 13 points for sure. So if you believe them that they're going to play everybody, that's.
I just don't see the point, but that's me. Because if Seattle loses this game, they don't have the bye. All of a sudden, you're playing your ass off this week to try and get something. And then you're right back into play. Then you're playing next week. I just don't. Although one thing is, like I mentioned earlier, with the 53-man roster, you really can't rest everybody. Yeah. And so what's that mean? You maybe Kamara doesn't play and Breeze doesn't play and Thomas doesn't play, but you still got Teddy Bridgewater, you still got Murray.
Davis Murray.
You know what I mean? And some guys that have played well, but then you rest them, maybe Cam Jordan on defense, maybe DeMario Davis. But I don't know. I just don't trust it. I don't see any reason why the Saints players should play.
Well, I mean, if it's a 1 o'clock game, they need to. I mean, I disagree.
Listen,
with
you. If they lose and Seattle wins, the Saints are still the number two seed. The Saints are the number two seed if Seattle wins either way. Now they can get the number one with a Packers loss and a win, but that ain't gonna Packers ain't gonna lose.
Right. So what if the Saints lose? Nothing happens.
If Seattle wins that game, the right. Saints are still number two, no matter whether they win or lose. Because
so why would this? So the Saints are locked into number two or not?
No, they're at number three if the 49ers lose. Oh. If the 49ers beat Seattle.
Oh, well, that's what you got to play for. That's
yeah, but no, but they're number three anyway. Okay, listen. If the 49ers win that game, and let's just assume Packers beat the Lions. Let's just assume that.
Right. Yes,
okay?
Yes.
If the 49ers beat Seattle, the Saints are number three. Okay?
Right. Okay.
If Seattle beats the 49ers, the Saints are number three, are number two. Whether they win or lose.
Right. So, but if they win in San Francisco, oh, so if San Francisco wins, they're
out. San Francisco's locked in at number one and the Packers are number two.
Yeah, well, yeah, that doesn't make any sense. Right.
But if Seattle wins, it doesn't matter if the Saints win or lose. Seattle, Saints will be number two. Saints will be number two if Seattle wins.
Right.
As long as the Packers win.
Well, I mean, I guess you got to look at it. Just check the inactives. If they're not playing, you know, I think that comes out 3 hours before the game. But the Saints, if the Saints play, they'll beat those guys, and they'll beat them by 13.
Okay, what about your boys? You ready to lay double digits with your boys?
Hell no. No way.
Exactly. I like the Redskins this week.
Yeah, especially I think it's better that it's better for the Redskins that Keenum's playing versus Haskins.
Right. This will be his last shot to show something before he
he'll get a
before
job,
he ship him off somewhere.
Yep. So that's an easy one, plus 11
This will be Keenum's big payday game again.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Somebody else will say, okay, well, I'll take you.
Right. That's an easy one.
There was some kind of story last week that Haskins, I guess, hurt his ankle or something like that, and the Snyder said, don't go back in the game.
Who knows?
All right, so we go with the Redskins.
That's four facts. Yep. We got the Colts and the Jags. I don't know. That's a waste of a game. I think the Colts are probably, I don't know. Who knows? Minus four.
But just when you think the Jags are terrible, they won a game against us last week or whatever it was.
Yeah, but I'm staying away from that one, I think. Eagles and Giants. You got to go with the Eagles. Minus the 4.5. -4.
Everybody's acting like the Giants have a good chance to beat the Eagles, but I know it's a rivalry. This is probably, we'll probably lay 4.5 and Eagles will win by 3.
Right, right. Yeah, right. Yep, yep.
But I'm not going to bank on that. I'd rather take the team that I think is going to win.
Right, that's going to win. Yep, exactly. Worry about the points. Steelers right. At the Steelers -2 in Baltimore. I still don't think that the Steelers are going to win this game. So I'm going to stay away from that one.
Right. Even though they're playing for everything and the Ravens are playing for nothing, I'm still staying away.
Yeah, exactly.
We talked about we taking the Titans. And then really the biggest game of the week that really is for all the marbles. It's such a big difference. We talked about it a million times between having the home field and things like that. And the 49ers win, they're the number one seed. If they lose, they're down the number 5. Seattle's pretty much locked in number 2 or 3, depending on what they do if the Packers beat the Lions. And but man, I know the Seahawks are banged up, but this game's for all the marbles and it's at home and we got a home dog sitting here.
Yeah, I mean this is a that's a tough place to play. I know
the Seahawks laid egg last week.
I got no problem taking the Seahawks +3. It's fine.
I know they laid an egg last week, but I really think that the Seahawks knew that they're going to get this division by winning this game this week, no matter what happened against Arizona last week.
That's pretty much what it came down to.
Right.
There's two other games, but we missed that LA game. The Chargers at the Chiefs. The Chiefs are locked in. Is that right?
Well, I think the Chiefs, if they win, New England would have to lose to the Dolphins.
Right.
And maybe the Chiefs would get to the number 2 spot there. That's why they're favored.
-9. That's a big number. I guess we could probably stay away from it. There's a bunch of other stuff going on. But I mean, at face value, I think the Chiefs will win that. They're playing well. So I don't think the Chiefs -9 is too bad of a play. Again, if that's it, everyone's playing, that's 100% Chiefs.
And they're playing at the same time as the Patriots. So they have to go out and play.
Yeah, I like the Chiefs there. And then the other one is the Raiders at the Broncos. That's a 4:25 game. Denver's -3.5 and 41. That's a tough one, too. I just don't trust the Raiders. I don't. Denver's been playing well. The Raiders, we had them those couple of times where I thought they'd come out and play. The Jet game in particular sticks out. And I think we had them again the next week, and they lost again. So I can't take the Raiders here. I can't do it.
Funny thing is they moved so that I guess the Titans and the Steelers game and some of the other games that, you know, I mentioned all the things the Raiders need.
They all moved them to 4:00.
They all moved them to the late game.
Yeah.
So that way they don't know one way or another before their game. So, man, I think the Broncos have played better. Drew Lock has played well.
Yes. Yes.
But the Raiders are playing for something.
I still don't trust them. I don't know. What's his name is out too? Taylor Jacobs, the running back.
Yeah. All right. If you like Denver, I don't mind taking Denver, but.
I'm just saying. I'd pass on this.
All right. Let's wait and see on this one. Right now, we have the Titans, Packers over in Atlanta, Redskins, Eagles, Chiefs, and Seahawks. I think that's a good bunch.
That's good. That's a good mix.
All right. And then don't forget, everybody, we'll be back January 2nd, Thursday night, for the new episode, and we'll get into actual NFL playoffs. By then, we will know where everybody stands, and also the national championship game, and there will be a few more college bowl games by then. Just a reminder, thanks, John Groh, for the bumper music. Don't forget to listen to us on TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, YouTube, Google Play Music, Podbean, Apple, Spotify, Stitcher. You can check out all our picks at sportswatchmonitor.com. I'm going to let Devin tell you about what to do if you listen to us on YouTube.
Hi, this is Devin Weber. When you go on the Wager Makers podcast webpage, make sure to subscribe, hit the like button, and hit the bell to put on your post notifications. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Devin.
Thanks, Debbie.
All right, everybody. Well, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, Happy Hanukkah, whatever you celebrate out there. Next time we'll be talking to you, it'll be 2020.
That's right. Happy New Year, everybody. Big, big couple days coming up. Chris will be paid for. Don't sweat it. We're all good. We got you. No worries.
Take it to the bank. Take it to the bank. It's going to be great. It's going to be a great Christmas when you get back all your money afterwards.
It's going to be a good year. Good 2020.
2020. Who knows what this year has in store for us, Webb?
That's right.
All right. Love you, brother. I'll talk to you later. Happy New Year.